The opinions expressed here on the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast are solely those of the presenters, not the opinions of Cedarbrook Community Church or Mountain View Community Church.
This is Kyle Folks from Hope Community Church in Gilbertsville, Pennsylvania, and you are listening to the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast with Steve Anderson and Matthew McCabe. And we're back. Episode 69 of the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast. Hey, everybody. This is Steve Anderson.
And I'm Matthew McCabe, and we are the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast. We're helping youth workers to keep going.
Good morning, my good friend.
Good morning. Here we are on a Monday morning, closing it January down, I guess.
I guess so. But, there was some big news yesterday.
Yeah, it's sad day for sure.
Yeah, I was sitting in my office getting ready for a youth group yesterday. And my college director comes in, and he goes, "You're not going to believe this." And it was the news about Kobe. Just shocking. Absolutely shocking.
Absolutely. We had a church potluck yesterday at the food court at the outlet malls, which was actually a brilliant idea. No work. We just showed up, got their own food, and it was great.
That's cool.
But we were there, a little text group that I'm in kind of blew up with the news that had happened. And, yeah, I just kind of sat there like, whoa.
Yeah. You know, by now, by the time you hear this, there's going to be, have been so much said about Kobe Bryant in every facet of life. And he really was an extraordinary person, not just an incredible basketball player.
A global figure.
Yeah. And so it just blows your mind to think of someone age 41 leaving this earth and, you know, his young daughter too. So you don't need to hear what the Sherpas think about Kobe. But I just wanted to say, I do have one thing in common with Kobe, though.
Is it his jump shot?
It's not his jump
shot. I didn't think so. I've played basketball with you. I know it's not
oh,
that.
Oh, wow.
Wow, I know. I'm sorry.
Well, nobody has his jump shot or any other of his skills. Incredibly talented. But I heard an interview last night. They did a special on ESPN, you know, kind of a memorial tribute. And he was asked in an interview last year about what it meant to him to have played his entire career with one team. And he said, "It means everything to me." And, you know, I thought about that. That is not very common anymore in sports. Very few players have brilliant careers and spend it in one place.
All in one place.
Yeah. And I love that. I've always admired those athletes that are able to accomplish that. You know, the Cal Ripken, Tony Gwynn type of people. And Kobe was that, but the same is true in youth ministry. Like it's the longevity connection.
We've talked about this before.
Yeah, there's a beautiful thing that happens when you not only have longevity, but have it in one specific place. And I know that's not a common story, but when it happens, it's really beautiful. And you saw the thousands and thousands of people gathered outside the Staples Center.
That was crazy
yesterday.
Right?
You know, and that's what happens when that's a place that they know you and they love you and you're part of their lives. You can't escape that. So, yeah,
so,
I don't know.
So do you think one day they will hang your jersey in the rafters here at Mountain View, Steve?
They'll probably hang me from the rafters here.
Your YMCA old guy ball, you know, jersey, hang that in the rafters?
Yeah, probably not. They'll probably rip down all the pictures and change all the furniture the minute I'm gone. But anyway, just a thought about the value of longevity.
Well, we have big news this Monday here in January.
This is big.
The
big
Youth
news.
Ministry Sherpas podcast has turned a corner, I think, in our, would you call it our legitimacy as a podcast with some kind of influence in the world?
Sure. You want to call it that?
Let's call it that. We today are starting, we have a sponsor.
We do.
We have been in conversation with the guys over at ServeHQ, which is an online platform. They have a couple of online subscription resources for churches, and we couldn't be more excited to have them sponsor the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast.
So today's episode is sponsored by ServeHQ. Stop using clunky and unsafe communication tools in ministry. With a new tool from Serve HQ, your email and text announcements can live alongside your team chats in one unified platform that's built just for churches, with ease and accountability at the forefront. Go to servehq.church to find out more. Hey, that was fun.
You should definitely check it out. servehq.church.
Yes. Well, today we're going to go back into the topic of second semester seniors and kind of reflect on what was said last episode, and also related to our lives as youth workers and as parents, and maybe ways that we can, I don't know, help people navigate these treacherous waters of having seniors.
Absolutely. But first, before we get into that topic, it's time for
Sherpa.
Say what?
Okay, man, it's your turn today.
So the city of Rochester, Minnesota.
Okay. Didn't know that was a place.
It's where the Mayo Clinic is.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's a big destination. Patients from all around the world come there for the Mayo Clinic.
Okay.
They have a crow poop problem. Evidently, there is
Did we have a pigeon poop problem a while ago?
We may have.
Birds are out of control.
Birds are out of control these days. So there is a large flock of crows that live in a cemetery not far from downtown Rochester, not far from the Mayo Clinic campus.
Did you say Rochester or Rochester?
No, Rochester.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it was a Freudian slip. I'm not a big fan of Minnesota. But anyway, the birds, the crows, they live in these trees, and then every day they make a trek together, all of them,
what?
Downtown, and take care of the business that they need to take care of. It's a group poop, and it is wreaking havoc on the downtown district, and specifically the Mayo Clinic campus. It's just being disgusting. So
it's horrible.
They have a crow patrol. It's a group of people armed with pistols with blanks
and crowbars,
lasers, crowbars. That's crazy, and it's their job. Their job to scare the crows away so that the poop problem doesn't exist at the Mayo Clinic campus in downtown Rochester, Minnesota. So who knew that this could be something that you could ascribe to in life, to be a part of the crow patrol? From the article, it sounds like the people who are part of the crow patrol, very proud of that fact.
Is that right?
I'm not sure that I would be proud to be on the crow patrol. But anyway.
Hey, it's good to belong to something.
I guess so.
All right. The group poop.
The group poop in Rochester, Minnesota.
All right.
So we had a great conversation last week. Really appreciate, once again, Emily and Ileana for jumping on the podcast and just sharing their thoughts about what it was like to be a second semester senior and kind of close out your youth ministry career. What are some things that kind of stood out for you, Steve, from our conversation with them?
Yeah, it was fun. They were a little nervous to start, I think.
It took a little while to get them going.
They actually think they're going to be famous now.
People think podcasting is easy, and it's not.
It's hard.
It's not. And you could see that in them. Like, they thought, oh, we got this. And then it was just a little harder than maybe we thought. But
thinking back to what they said, I think the thing that touched me most is this idea of what seniors really want from us is probably not what we're thinking we want to give to them. I think we want to give to them like all this great wisdom, maybe, and preparation for, you know, the scary, dangerous college campus and the temptations and the worldview challenges that they're going to face and all that kind of stuff. Like, we're thinking about kind of the content
and the practical side of things.
Mm-hmm. What they really want is a comfortable, familiar place
in the midst of their chaos.
Yes. They want us as comfort food.
We talked about it. The youth ministry is the macaroni and cheese of their life.
They want the familiar. They want the friendship and the community. They don't necessarily want to be challenged. They want to be just kind of affirmed and loved and encouraged. And, you know, the environment that we've created that has been meaningful to them for the duration of their time in the youth ministry, they don't want it to change.
They
want to
finish with it.
Yeah, they want to finish with what they know.
Right.
They don't want anything new.
And I think we can get caught up. I know that I have over the years got caught up with what kind of new thing can I introduce or bring in so that it kind of brings a level of excitement to keep those seniors engaged. And of course, then they come in here and say, no.
Yeah.
Don't be changing things up. We want what we've always wanted. We want to be comfortable in the midst of, because the rest of our life is in chaos. So this is our constant.
And I've also kind of mentally used seniors. Like, I want them to pour into those who are going to follow them, pour into the younger students, you know, leave a nice legacy behind them. And I think there's value to that. But by the time they get to second semester, I think I just need to stop. I just need to stop and love them.
Affirm them.
And make sure that this is a place that they just love to be, so that their memories of this are going to carry forward into the future.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was a good reminder.
That was a really good reminder for me was when they were talking about, you know, how their senior year, there's so many other responsibilities that are on them with the college applications mm-hmm. and internships and all kinds of stuff. So there are more Sundays or Wednesdays or whatever, you know, night their youth group meets that they miss.
Right.
And then it's they talked about the manner in which we approach, either we as the youth leaders or our small group leaders, approach them when they're missing in action, when they're not there. And they talked about the big difference between, hey, get your butt back to youth group, and, hey, is everything okay? What's going on? Is there anything I can do to help? We've missed you mm-hmm. in this place. Mm-hmm. And that sort of kind of gripped at my heart because I know that I don't want to. But I know that there's been so many times that in my communication with students, and not just seniors, I mean, it brought it out in that conversation, but I'm talking about any level of student who's sort of missing in action, that my communication with them can slide into guilt in a hurry if I'm not super diligent. And I don't think that's what our students need. In fact, they said last week, it's exactly what they don't need. Yeah. They don't need guilt. They don't need, you know, pressure. They need care. They need love. Yeah. They need to know that somebody wants to know what's going on and if they can help. Not, what can I do to get you back here? No, what can I do to help you? And that for me was one of those like core reminders, like, okay, I have to be super diligent to not leak into guilt in my communication with students who are, you know, not around or missing for whatever reason they're missing.
It's the same issue for both of us. It's not using them. It's not treating them as a commodity or viewing them as somehow to benefit our ministry, or it's really just about loving them and letting them be. How hard is that?
You know what? Harder than it sounds.
Harder than it sounds, yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
And a lot of it has to do with how much we put into
right.
the ministry, the evening, the program, the event, the retreat. Mm. And so we've invested so much in it that when someone misses it, we can feel, I know that I have, I feel a personal affront to that.
Yeah, sure.
Like, I put all of this into this and... Yeah. You're going to go do something else instead?
I've loved you for 7 years, and you right. can't even come to youth group your last semester?
Right,
yeah,
right.
There is a definitely a personal element to that. Yeah. you take that personally.
Right, and so it was a really good reminder for me to just be a little more careful about that and be a little bit more intentional about expressing care and concern, not any kind of guilt or pressure or... You know, you hurt my feelings because you didn't come.
Yeah.
You know, and so, yeah. So that was really strong for me.
Good reminder for all of us. Yeah. Let's just treat our seniors well. Let's just care for them and love them where they're at and help them to feel comfortable before they launch.
And just remember the season of chaos that they are in, and that's going to play itself out in a lot of different ways. You know, the other thing that they talked about was this, you know, stop asking us what we're doing. And they said that was across the board, like students, other students, their small group leaders, the youth pastor. You walk into youth group and it's, you know, January of your senior year, and everyone's question is, so where are you going to college?
Right.
So what are you doing? And they talked about how that's such a stressful question.
There's a lot of pressure behind that question. Oh gosh, I've asked that question so many times.
I think we need better questions.
Yeah.
We need better questions for our seniors. We need better questions for our parents.
Yeah, let's turn the direction that way a little bit. The same kind of care that we want to provide for our students, maybe we need to rethink how we're caring for the parents of our seniors.
Because they're in the middle of it as well. They're in the middle of some real, real chaotic and stressful times in their lives as well. And I think it's easy to forget that.
And I think it's easy for us to instantly go to, well, let's program something to help parents through this time. So let's set up a, I don't know, how to pay for college seminar, or, you know, how to navigate the application process, or all, you know, all that kind of stuff. And really what they need is a listening ear.
Yes, they need someone to care.
How are you feeling about the prospect of your son or your daughter going off to college? What is that like for you?
And I must admit that over the years, I don't think I did a very good job of that.
I didn't either.
I think you there's so many different things to get caught up with, you know, specifically with the seniors and the senior banquets and the senior Sundays and all the different things that we do to try to help our seniors end well, that I think we lose track of the fact that there are parents out there that are swimming in some really rough waters. And of course, I know that now because I am that parent. And it is, you know, listen to Emily and Ileana talk last week about, you know, we need better questions, because those questions, like, we're stressed out by those questions. And then you ask them and it's just adding insult to injury. And I thought about that, like, that's the same is true for parents. I mean, we just had an experience on Friday night where we were at our school, and we were talking with some friends of ours, and they're beautiful people. They really are beautiful people, and I love them to death, but this is such a volatile time for us and for them that you just kind of lose your mind a little bit. And we were, you know, of course, they were saying, so where's Illy going to go to school? Where, you know? And of course, we're as stressed out about that as it, maybe not as much as Illy is, but we're certainly on the stress
it's
scale.
It's on your mind, yeah.
It's on our mind about hoping that we can provide for her what she hopes and dreams for. And so we were kind of talking about
being financially completely secure and wealthy after all these years of youth ministry.
Yes, I mean, having just money in the bank.
Absolutely.
Doesn't matter.
It just flows out of your pockets like water, doesn't it?
There's so many limitations to what can happen based on financial aid packages that we live in that tension of waiting for that decision. So, you know, we had this conversation and we told this parent, yeah, well, this is the school she really wants to go to, but we don't know if we can afford it. And so we're waiting for the financial package. And then this parent just turned right around and said, oh, well, my son got into that school and got a full ride, but not really sure he wants to go there. And I just stood there like, how is that helpful? You're not that is terrible. And it was just, but what it did was it made me think.
No, it did more than make you
think. Well, it made me do a lot of things. But
it almost made you violent, too.
It did. But what it made me think is we've got to do a better job as much as we have opportunity to not only care for parents, because I was wounded Friday night. I went home and I was not in a great place, you know? And I could have used some soul care. Right.
Yeah.
But we also just need to do a better job of helping our volunteer leaders and our parents think about what's a better way to have this conversation.
Right.
What are better questions? What are better ways to express? I know that you're going through something, and I want to help, as opposed to saying something that's gonna, you know, put a little gasoline on the fire.
Yeah, without inducing stress, without inducing comparison, without inducing a sense of they're not measuring up. that's so easy to do.
The comparison thing is so tough because
it's
so prevalent. It's just so prevalent. I mean, that I felt like that's what was happening on Friday night. And we've known this gal for,
she didn't intend to hurt
15
you.
15 years. Yeah. Not, she is the most wonderful person on the planet.
Well, she may not be the most wonderful.
Well, but she's quite wonderful.
A little more self-aware.
She's quite wonderful. but I would imagine, if I take a step back from it, which I've had an opportunity to do over the weekend, you take a step back, how many conversations has she been in where the comparison thing is the conversation?
Yeah.
And so she's been trained. This is the conversation. Yeah. Oh, we're talking now about our kids. I need to make sure that I you know. So it's we need to help our parents understand that there's no win there. Comparing our kids to other kids and what schools they're going to get into or not get into, there is no win in that conversation. Somebody is always going to lose that conversation. So why are we having it?
I think we could do wonders for our parents by helping them de-stress the whole process. I don't really know how to get there, but there's, at least in our area, there is this sense of competition and expectation that my kids got to get into such and such. And often it's almost at the expense of somebody else, like you just described. That's so unhealthy.
Sure.
And it's so untrue. I mean, it doesn't matter really where you go to college. It really doesn't.
No.
You can go, even if you don't go to college.
I mean, look at me. I'm a college dropout.
And you are the height of success in this world.
The height of success.
You are the pinnacle
sure.
of all things. It just proves my point. Their success in life doesn't hinge on this decision. But parents are in a place where they are made to feel like everything is on this decision, and the students too.
Right.
So our role as shepherds and youth pastors is to try to defuse that tension with better questions and better soul care.
Yes, absolutely. With our seniors and with our seniors' parents.
I'm convicted because the honest truth is the only conversation I will have, unless I change, the only conversation I will have with our parents of seniors this spring will be, hey, I need these things from you to prepare for our senior banquet. That's going to be it.
And maybe
how dumb is that?
Maybe there should be some other conversations.
Maybe there should be some other conversations too. And honestly, now that I have put three kids through college and I am coming out on the very last semester of college ever.
How amazing does that feel?
It feels great. And we survived it and somehow we got through it and all that. But I remember the agony every time of these transitions.
Yeah.
As a parent, I know what it feels like. So I need to take those memories and that empathy and transmit that to the parents in our youth ministry. I have not done a good job of that. I've been pretty self-absorbed about it, actually.
Now you have a challenge. Now you've got something you can go out. And hopefully that's a challenge for all of us out there to start identifying our seniors and then start looking at those parents. Because and every parent's going to need something different. I mean, the parent who's sending their first child off to school, I still remember the day we dropped our oldest off at college. He'll graduate here from college in a few months and move on to the next stage. But I remember, like it was yesterday, the day we dropped him off. And I remember the state we were in from the drive from...
You practically drowned in your car and your tears
on
the way home, didn't you?
Oh, my goodness. I really did not think
it was
going to be that way. And then it was. Oh. Thank goodness for sheets and fried food, because we stopped and we comfort ate our way through that experience. So youth leaders, do you have some seniors who they're the oldest child in their family? Those parents are about to embark on something that's beautiful and wonderful, but really hard. And then what about parents who's their last kid?
Mm.
You know, there's going to be a sense of joy and relief, but also a deep, deep sense of transition. They're going to be transitioning out of the youth ministry as a parent. They're going to be transitioning out of their high school or whatever school experience their kids had. It's pretty significant. And I know this because I'm sitting there right now. My youngest is about to graduate high school and move on. And I have so many emotions about that. Some of them are phenomenal and some of them are gut-wrenching.
We're going to do a therapy session.
We're
going
to need a therapy. We need to run to Sheets and get some fried food. Just talking about it.
I'll tell you what. Oh, I can totally relate to all of that. I just, the emotional state. This could be a whole separate episode, but honestly, for a couple of years, I just felt this sense of confusion and loss of my identity and role and place in this world. As youth pastor of my own kids, and then youth pastor of some of my kids, and then youth pastor of only one of my kids, and then youth pastor of none of my kids, it was difficult emotionally. So Yeah, to take those experiences, and I know most people listening to this probably aren't at that place yet, but try to at least get yourself into that state of mind.
Well, I think for some of those, for some of the younger youth workers who have not quite reached that stage yet, there's some real emotions even before you get to that stage.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you pour so much of yourself into these students, especially students who kind of run the gamut. They come in as sixth graders or seventh graders, depending on your ministry context, and then you graduate them 6 or 7 years later. You're not their parent, mm-hmm. and we get that, but we know the connection you feel. And so...
some of them you're glad they're graduating.
Well, some of them you might be glad they're graduating, yeah, but the vast majority of them, yeah. you're going to feel some kind of way. Mm-hmm. When it comes time for them to have that, whatever your senior traditions are, yeah. as you kind of land the plane. And so maybe that's the last thing we need to talk about here yeah. is kind of this, how do we, as the youth leaders and youth volunteers, how do we manage mm-hmm. this transition well?
Yeah.
You know, because again, I I've been through, as you have, graduating yeah. my own children, but before that, I spent 25 years graduating other people's kids mm-hmm. and cried like a baby when they graduated mm-hmm. too. So there is some emotion there.
Yeah, I think the general theme that I'm getting from this, even as we talk through it, is stop asking things of your seniors and their parents and be giving things to your seniors and your parents, giving them comfort, giving them memories, giving them assurance, giving them a listening ear. So when we actually get to the very end, which is our senior banquet, that's how we do it here. We started a senior retreat last year. We're going to do that again. It's really great to take the kids away one last time. I think we're going to take them possibly back to where we do our fall retreat.
Oh, really?
I got that idea from Derry Prinkert in my third decade. They kind of would close off their youth ministry career with a trip back memory lane.
Oh, very cool.
To a familiar
that's a great
place,
idea.
You know? So I think we might do that, but the senior banquet to me is like this beautiful, closure moment. And so we want to bring their life full circle and really close the chapter with this beautiful love gift. And that includes things like at the senior banquet, we give each student a word and we say a little bit about them, how this word is going to maybe influence their life or why we think this word applies to their future, which they have found very meaningful. We pray over those and we give those words and we say them all at the banquet.
That's very cool.
Of course, you know, pictures and memories of past trips and baby pictures and all that kind of stuff too. And then we give them a group picture from the banquet so they can remember their class.
Sure.
Yeah, so the senior banquet to me is this opportunity to really bring closure, and the parents are part of it as well, and it just is such a feel-good thing. When we didn't do the senior banquet, I always felt like I was just kind of leaving them hanging in the wind. We make an intention to include any seniors who want to be part of it. So even the kids who really haven't been around much, I feel like it's an opportunity to, in one last way, give them a gift. Hey, we as a church love you and we care about you. We want to send you off well.
Yeah.
So that's how we do it.
That's how you do it.
Mm-hmm. And I do cry like a baby.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh my gosh. It's the red eye night. I mean, my yeah. eyes are so red afterwards.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing. And honestly, when it was my kids' own banquets, oh, just a double whack upside the
sure.
head. Yeah.
Yep.
Emotionally gut wrenching.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, same. I mean, we do a different event, but a very similar event. And one of the ways that I've, over the years, dealt with it is, you know, there have been people over the years that have offered, hey, let me take the video, the slideshow off your hands. I'll create mm-hmm. that for you. And I've always just said, no, we could find some other mm-hmm. parts of this event that we could take off my plate, but I don't want to take that one off my
yeah.
plate because I want that time in my office by yeah. myself creating that video, going through those pictures, creating that memory gift that mm-hmm. we're going to give, because that's my chance to process mm-hmm. all that so that I'm not like a complete wreck at the event, so that I can actually give the event my time and my energy. And so,
you know, throughout the year, I create a Spotify list for the senior banquet playlist that I'm going to put on the video as the background music. And anytime I hear a song, I think, hey, that's going to be really good for this video. I'll drop it in that playlist, and I'll come back to it when I get to May and start to put it together. And I kind of associate those songs then
with that class.
With that class. I can name classes and songs that have been like the final song of the video that will always be linked in my mind and memory to the class of 2012 or whatever. And I think there's something really powerful about that.
Very cool. Ours is even more specific than that because our seniors choose a clip of a song to play behind their group of pictures in the senior video. And so I have songs that are specifically connected to a student.
Yeah.
And when I hear that song, I can see the pictures. I can see that student at a fall retreat. I can see that student in Peru. When I hear this song 10 years later, so I have an iTunes playlist that is Senior Sunday songs. And every now and again, I'll pop that in and just hit shuffle. And it's a whole day of just remembering kids because as soon as the song comes on, oh, Eden, oh, you know, Jeffrey. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool.
That's a two margarita afternoon right
yes,
there.
Yes, it is. No joke.
So part of the emotional element of this for us as youth workers is we are literally moving out a class and sending them off to the next great thing the same week or the same month that we're moving in the new class. I mean, how many times have I had a senior banquet followed by a sixth grade welcome?
What a roller coaster that we ride.
Oh my gosh, it's so emotionally draining. So what do you do to keep each class kind of in your memory banks in the year to come? Because you don't want to just send them off to college and forget about them.
Yeah. So for me, you know, I make those videos that we show, the slideshow that we show at our Senior Sunday, and I make it a point to watch that video twice in the following year when they're freshmen in college.
Okay.
So I literally schedule a reminder in my to-do app for the fall, and then again, usually somewhere February, March, to say, hey, watch the Senior Sunday video. And then I pull it up, and it sort of just keeps me emotionally connected with those students that are now geographically who knows where.
That's really cool.
What do you do?
I take the picture from the senior banquet, and I keep it on my desk for the following year.
Oh.
So I see their faces every day when I sit down, and just reminds me, hey, I should text Duncan at college. I should write a note to Tori. Like, I don't know. Just whatever I can do to kind of keep that contact, especially that first year, you know, because I think it's important for them to know that we still know them and love them and are thinking about
them. They weren't just part of a machine, that they were part of our lives.
Yeah, and that takes intentionality, and watching the video and having the picture on my desk is part of the intentionality behind remembering them, because there's still, you know, all the students who I have every week
there's
now.
There's a whole new group of seniors in there.
And lots of needs and lots of demands caught up in that too, but I don't want to forget them. And based on this conversation, I should probably have a picture of all their parents on my desk too.
Right?
So I can remember to follow up with them
and see how they're doing.
It's going to be hard for them, not just graduation, but in the days following. It's a challenge.
Yeah. So second semester seniors and second semester senior parents and second semester senior youth workers, all riding quite a ride, and we need to keep that in mind.
So McCabe, I mean, this is it, man.
It is. It is. We're closing it down.
I'm feeling for you, because this is going to be a really emotional couple of months.
Yeah. Ileana, who was on the podcast last week, she had her senior swim meet with the school, because it was the last home meet of the year on Saturday, and it was, you know, it was a time. You know, we went out for a nice lunch afterwards, and it was great, but man, there's so many just lasts that are just ticking off the calendar each week, and it's like riding a roller coaster.
I'm here for you, man.
I appreciate that.
I'm on the other side. There is life on the other side, and it's not terrible.
Right. I hear that. I hear that. So is Sheetz. They're also there for me, and they're fried Wisconsin cheese curds when I need it. Okay. So, hey, we will be back next week with another episode of the Youth Ministry Sherpas. In the in-between time, you should visit servehq.church, because this episode was sponsored by Serve HQ. Stop using clunky and unsafe communication tools in ministry. With a new tool from ServeHQ, your email and your text announcements can live alongside your team chats in one unified platform that's built just for churches, with ease and accountability at the forefront. Go to servehq.church and find out more.
Well done. All right. Well, that wraps it up for this episode. We'll be back next week with episode 70. Do we want to give a hint of what we're going to talk about? We'll drop a little hint.
I think we can drop a little hint. Yeah. We can get a little teaser.
We're going to go back to the opposite end of the spectrum. We're going to talk about what it's like to be a youth worker with a young family.
Yes.
And some of the challenges that that presents.
Some of the challenges and some of the benefits.
Yep.
There are a little bit of both. But until then, Sherpas out.